Day. Today I want to do kind of interesting message. I don't normally do standalone messages, but I want to do that today. And I want to take you back when I was in college. I went to Australia to look at churches. Almost worked there in Australia. I went to Sydney and spent time at churches there, Brisbane, Toowoomba, and Cairns, Australia, on the east coast of Australia. And it was awesome. Got to meet a lot of different people. One guy I got to meet was a guy named Simon. He was a big surfer. In fact, while I was there, I was on the same plane ride going from LA to Sydney into Brisbane with a guy named Kelly Slater. Maybe you know Kelly Slater is a big time surfer. So they had a big competition there. Well, Simon was a big time surfer. Got to hang out with him and became friends with him. And then I left there, went to Toowoomba, then I went to Cairns. Well, he was in Brisbane. And then I came back to the States, was serving a church in Atlanta. And while I'm there, I get a call out of the blue. This is before like emails were really popular. Remember those days? I remember seeing people do emails like, what losers? I mean, why would you do that? Just call somebody, you know? Now look what happened. Anyway, cell phones were happening, you know, I was like, it's kind of hard to get a hold of people. Well, he got a hold of me somehow, and he calls me up. He's like, I'm in America. And I'm like, really, what in the world are you doing here? He's like, I'm on a holiday. I'm like, okay, cool, whatever that means. So I got a friend of mine in Memphis. You can go hang out with them, and then you can make your way on Greyhound. He's doing a Greyhound all the way across. He ends up showing up at Atlanta. I go pick him up, and after 3 days, I'm kind of like, so how long are you staying? And he's like, I'm on a holiday. I'm like, well, that sounds like singular to me. What does that mean? I didn't know it meant a decade. That's what it means. And so week one go by, week two go by, three, week four, week five. I'm like, how am I going to get rid of this guy? Because I got to go back to school in Nashville. And so I'm trying to figure that out. About week 10, believe it or not, week 10, I'm like a week away from leaving. And I'm going to a Bible study. I'm teaching a Bible study with some teenagers in Atlanta. And Atlanta's got hills, and we're pulling in the subdivision. And he asked, like, we're going kind of down a hill. And he's like, how steep is this hill? I'm like, I don't think it's that steep. Now, mind you, I'm like 21 years old. I mean, what do I, you know, everything seems like not that bad or not that big of a deal to me. And so he's like, okay, cool. And he gets out of the car, and he gets his skateboard. And so I'm behind him, coasting in neutral with my headlights because we're brilliant. We're doing this at night. And he is now coasting down the hill on the skateboard. Super athletic guy going down 10 miles an hour, 15, 20 miles an hour, 25. We're going about 25 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour, about 35 miles an hour. I realize this is not trending in a good direction. 40 miles an hour, his skateboard starts doing this kind of thing. And many of you have gone down a hill, you know what happens when this starts happening. And then about 45, he totally wipes out, buzzed hard, breaks his skateboard. I get him in the car. He is bloodied up, totally bloodied up. I get him into the Bible study. He's in the corner bleeding to death as I'm leading this Bible study. And then I take him to the hospital, and the doctors look at him and said, you need surgery. He calls his Australian insurance, and they said, we're not paying for you to have surgery in America. We're flying you out tomorrow morning, first thing on first class. And I said, praise the Lord. That's how I got rid of Simon. So he goes back to Australia, and the Australian doctors basically told him to walk it off, okay? So really interesting. But I think about the Simon story, especially going down the hill, and I want you to think about this. I mean, when I left college, and I found the girl, right? I found the girl, and I'm going to get the job, and the girl becomes my wife, and I get in school debt, I get student loan debt, and I got to pay that off, and I get a car payment, and all of a sudden, the girl becomes, like I said, I marry her, then we have a baby, which that means more diapers, and then we have another baby, which means more diapers, and then there's preschool, and there's Mother's Day out, there's soccer, there's dance, there's ballet, there's braces, there's more kids, and second job, and debt. And all of a sudden, life has sped up so fast, like, I don't know if I can breathe. And you feel so overwhelmed, you feel so anxious, you don't know if there's enough time in the day. How many of you feel like that describes you right now? Raise your hand if you feel like that describes you. All right, my hand's up. All right. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, life just gotten so fast. It happened so unexpectedly. You try to squeeze a little bit more in your day. I was in Fort Lauderdale. I don't know if you know this about Fort Lauderdale. I was there this past week. There's a lot of people in Fort Lauderdale. So everywhere's packed. You know, I'm trying to get around traffic. I'm trying to find the shortest lane because I got to get more done in the day. I got a supper appointment. I was in Target. I don't know why, but they love Target down there. And I'm trying to find the shortest lane so I can get in and out as quick as possible, squeeze as much as I possibly can in a day. And it's not just being rushed, but I wonder, how many of you would say occasionally, maybe often, you're disappointed with the way that your life's going? And because of the pace and because of the intensity, and sometimes you start to think, you know what? There's something that's missing. There's something missing, and I have no time to do the things I want to do and no time to do the things I love, or worse yet, I don't even really have time for the people I love. And you might start to ask yourself, is life really supposed to be this way? What if I told you the greatest enemy to the life you want may be the life you're living? The greatest enemy to the life that you want may be the life that you're living, because honestly, we're too busy for what matters. Confession, this message is probably the message I least want to give in the year 2024, because it's one of the difficult, it's one of the most difficult things for me to preach about, because it's a complete opposite of the way that I live, if I'm being transparent with you. In fact, you don't have to be around me very long to understand something about me. And that is, I despise slow. I mean, it offends me. I mean, pray for my wife, all right? Because she doesn't operate like I do. Like, we're complete opposites. And so I don't know what it's like to sit there at a water cooler and just hang out and talk to guys. Because I'm like, hey, we're working. Let's get going. I mean, I don't understand what that's like. It's just not how I've wired or how I geared myself in the last couple of decades. And I may have been the guy who said, the devil doesn't take a day off, and neither do I. I may have said, I'll sleep when I'm dead, right? That's when I'll get my sleep. I may have said that and actually meant it. And I'm guessing, I'm hoping that most of you, at least many of you, are not as dysfunctional as I am. But I'm guessing a lot of you are busier than you know you should be, because we got places to be, we got jobs to do, we got bills to pay, we got kitchens to clean, we got kids to raise, we got news to read, we got biased news to read to make us really mad, yards to mow, dinner to cook, clothes to buy, clothes to wash, clothes to wash, clothes to wash, right? We got dinner to cook. We got clothes to not wear anymore and buy more clothes because we don't like the clothes that we're wearing. And we got photos to take, captions to write, soul-numbing Netflix series to binge out on. And just because the pace of life is what it is, you find yourself moving faster and faster and faster until you're sprinting and you realize, I don't have time for the things I truly wish I had time for. We don't really have time for meals with family anymore. We don't have time for deep conversations with friends. We don't have time for rest and reflection and to read and really enjoy intimacy with our Heavenly Father. We just don't have time. But the good news is nobody else does either. So it must be okay, right? Everybody's busy, so this must be God's will for us. I don't think so. What if I told you the greatest enemy to the life that you want may be the life that you're living? And the reason for this message is we're not looking just at the truth of Jesus. We're actually looking at how he lived. We're looking at living in the way that Jesus loved. In fact, when you look at the Gospels and you take a step back, you'll see that Jesus, you think about his ministry, it was only for 3 years. 3 years he did public ministry. And in those 3 years, he embraced his Father's mission. He recruited kind of a ragtag group of 10, 12 guys, and he invested in them, trained them in kingdom values. He endured the hatred of the Pharisees. He resisted the temptation of the devil. He healed all sorts of sick people. He loved all sorts of hurting people. He preached the word of God fearlessly, and he fulfilled 351 Old Testament prophecies. And Jesus never once ran. Never once did he run. You read the scriptures and the gospels, there's no record of him ever running, jogging, skipping, sprinting, fast walking. Jesus was busy, but he was never rushed. He never said to his disciples, okay, shoot, boys, we're behind schedule. Come on, let's get going. Pick it up. Let's go. Thomas is late. He's always late. Let's leave him behind. Let's teach him a lesson this time. Let's get to Capernaum. We got to get there right now. He never did that. He was busy with important stuff, but he never rushed on the inside. He never once ran. In fact, I'm going to show you a phrase from Mark's gospel we see all over the gospels. Here's what it says about Jesus in Mark chapter 2. Look what it says. It says, as he, say that with me, as he did what? As he walked. As he walked along. That's what we see a lot in scripture. He, Jesus, saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting with the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. And I was thinking about Levi. It's fascinating. If Jesus was unrushed and Levi was following after Jesus, he walked with Jesus, then Levi should have been living an unrushed life, right? And then I thought about us. I thought about if we followed an unrushed Jesus, we should be living an unrushed life. But the way I live is very different from the way that Jesus lived. And so if you find yourself kind of like Simon, the skateboarder, going down the hill, and life is just kind of going faster and faster than you expected, and you're stressed out, and you're overwhelmed, and you're rushed, and you're exhausted, trying to keep all the plates up in the air at the same time, always falling short, Jesus invites you to come. He invites you to come to him if you're worn out, if you're overwhelmed, if you're burdened, and he will give you something that many of us have not experienced in a very, very long time, and that's heavenly rest. In fact, here's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11 from the Message translation. I love this translation. Look what it says. Jesus asks you, are you tired? Are you worn out? Burdened out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Then Jesus says this, say it with me, church, what? Walk with me, not run, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it, learn the, I love this phrase, say it with me, I love the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Jesus says, get away with me and you'll recover your life. Walk with me. Watch how I walk. Watch how I love. Watch how I live. Walk with me. Don't just believe what Jesus believed, but actually do what Jesus did. And I want you to think just real quick. Think about the way he lived. He only lived 33 years on planet Earth. He was called to a perfect life so he could die. His mission was to die to save us from our sins. And he waited, guess what, 30 years before he initiated a public ministry. And it happens actually at his baptism, just like a baptism we saw. Jesus gets baptized, and then the Father speaks to him and says, this is my Son with whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. The Holy Spirit comes down to him on and through like a dove. And all of a sudden, God affirms him even before he's publicly done anything. Before he's done a miracle. And so Jesus is commissioned to change the world. He's ready to go out and do what he was created to do. So guess what? The very first thing Jesus did, he took a sabbatical. Like, I wouldn't have done that. I'd be like, all right, let's go. No, he takes a 40 days. He goes out in the desert, spends time alone with God, is strengthened by God, fights off the evil one. And his identity solidified in who he's called to be. He takes 40 days just to be with God. Think about his first miracle. His first miracle, guess where it was at? There's a couple here, I did their wedding. It was at a wedding. He's there at the wedding, and if Jesus, most of us were like, Jesus, you know, I'm a big deal. I'm SOG and the Son of God, right? And I'm going to spend some time with you, but not too much time. I'm getting out of here as quick as I can. No, Jesus didn't do that. He spent time with them. He slowed down. He stayed to the end. And when they ran out of party juice, okay, he turned the water into wine. Let's just keep this thing going is what he's saying. Let's just enjoy each other. Let's walk together. One time a synagogue leader, a big deal, his name is Jairus, comes up to him. He's in a panic because his daughter is sick and is dying. And he comes up and he interrupts Jesus' schedule. He says, Jesus, I need you. I need you to come to rescue my daughter. I need you to heal her. And Jesus starts heading that direction. He's going this way. Now he's going this way. And while he's being interrupted, he gets interrupted again. We have a woman who's been bleeding for 12 years and she's crying and she needs to be healed. And so now we have an interruption on top of an interruption. But guess what Jesus does? He gives her his undivided attention. And while he's taking his sweet, loving time with her, The girl dies. And the father is now distraught. And he heals that woman, but the girl dies. And then he says to the father, who's now just totally beside himself, Jesus says to him, time is in my hands. And then he raises the girl from the dead. I mean, it's crazy. Look at Jesus' transportation choice. He's coming into Jerusalem. He's a King of Kings. He's a Lord of Lords. He could have chosen any animal, any mode of transportation he wanted. I'll be honest with you, if it was me, I would have chosen like a big, white, fast horse. All right, something, lots of muscles, like really strong. Jesus, he chooses a what? He comes in on a what? A donkey. A donkey is a walking animal. You will never see a donkey in a rush. All right? Eeyore does not run red lights, okay? As he walked, if Jesus wasn't rushed, he was called. If I'm called to follow Jesus, if Jesus wasn't rushed in his soul, why do you think we are? Why are we? Well, I'm a pastor, I'm not a counselor, but after doing pastoral care for a number of years now, I'll tell you what I think it is. If I simplify it, most of us are rushed, overpressured, we're pushing it so hard because here's the truth, I believe. Most of us are rushed because we're running from something or running to something. We're running from something or running to something. And if I analyze myself, if I'm being transparent, I'm running from insignificance and I'm running towards acceptance. That's me. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe you're running from a past failure. Maybe you're running from something that somebody said about you. Maybe you're running from insecurity. You're trying to overcome and prove so-and-so wrong. You're running from a hurt, you're running from abuse, or you're running to something. You got goals, you got visions, you know, I'm going to get married, and she's going to be fine, and he's going to be fine, and they're going to love Jesus, and we're going to get matching cross tattoos, and we're going to name our kids Elijah and Mary because it comes from the Bible. You know, you've got all these visions you're running to of success and of fame and popularity and wanting to be liked and toward an image. The problem is that most people in today's culture, if you're chasing a life other than Jesus, it will still leave you empty once you find it. Whatever that is, if it's not Jesus, it's going to leave you empty. What if the greatest enemy to the life that you want is actually the way that you're living right now? Always rushed, always pushing it. And some of you say, you don't understand, preacher boy. You only have a few hours. You got to preach every few, you know, every week. You know, I got a full-time job. You know, you're just a pastor. You have an easy job. I don't have time. I literally can't get it all done. I can't slow down. There's just too much happening. And I want to say to you, as respectfully as I can, listen, you have time for what you choose to have time for. You have time for what you choose to have time for. You do. You have time. And if I can get in your business and your grill just a little bit more, the solution is not more time. The solution is more of what matters most. The solution is what matters most. And if the reason why most of us don't have time for what matters is because we're mindlessly spending our life on things and wasting our time on things that don't matter. And I'm going to show it to you. Give you examples here real quick, and I think they're pretty common for many of us. One of them is social media. Social media. How many of you guys you're on social media in some way? Raise your hand if you're on social media in some way. My hand's up, all right? All right, another one is television. And the last one I'm going to talk about is video games. Let's just start with social media for a second. Do you know that the average person in America spends 706 hours on social media per year? 706 hours. And you're kind of like, okay, well, how do I comprehend that? Like, what does that mean? Let's just do a comparison. A traditional work day is how many hours? It's 8 hours, right? It's 8 hours, a traditional work day. So if you take a traditional work day and you divide that up, you divide 706 with a traditional work day, you'll have spent 4.5 months. That's what that means. 706 hours ends up being 4.5 months of work. And we're spent on social media. You have time for what you choose to have time for. Television's a little worse. 2,700 hours people binge watching on television every year. 2,700 hours. you know, watching Netflix binging or watching the news tell you the same thing that you heard, I don't know, the last 10 years, you know, just telling you the same thing again and again and again. We just sit there and we just watch it. Then there's video games, and I want to pick on the gentleman in the room, or maybe not gentlemen, just guys, all right? Raise your hand if you're a guy. Raise your hand if you're a dude. Raise your hand. All right, my hand's up. I'm guilty as charged in this. I grew up in the day of Donkey Kong, all right? Pac-Man, Galaga, all right? You know, when Jesus was running video games, okay? Frogger, all right? That's when I grew up. On average, listen to this. An average guy, by the time they turn 21, spends 10,000 hours playing video games. 10,000 hours by the time they turn 21. What in the world could you do with 10,000 hours? I'll give you some options. If you make $10 an hour, you can make 100 grand. If you're an average reader, you could read 2,000 books in that time. Another thing you could do with 10,000 hours, you could probably become a concert pianist. You could get your pilot's license. You could memorize a New Testament. You could get your undergraduate and your graduate degree. Let's just take it to relationships. You could possibly save your struggling marriage if you devoted that much energy to the person that maybe you're walking away from right now. You could possibly reconcile a relationship with a family member or a friend that's gone bad. You could perhaps have the most intimate relationship with your children or grandchildren that you ever imagined if you just put away whatever that stupid thing that you're doing and invested in them. You could have something that really matters, or you could mindlessly waste your life on stuff that doesn't. What if the greatest enemy to the life that you want is really the life that you're living? So you ask yourself, okay, Pastor Nathan, what do I do? And the answer for me is, I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out too. I'm a fellow struggler with you. What I'm going to do is I'm not going to give you a whole bunch to do. That would kind of defeat the purpose. I think what happens here, I'm going to tell you the truth. If you don't slow down, God will slow you down. If you don't slow down, God will slow you down. That's what he did for me a few years ago. Just gunning and running so hard. And be honest with you, what was driving that? My addiction to work and seeking adrenaline. And then I just hit a wall in early 2021. So I had to go back to the basics. Who is God? And I looked and I said, God is love. The first commandment Jesus tells us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And then he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. At the core of all that God calls us to is love, to be loved by him, to love him, and to love people all around us on behalf of his love. But the challenge is this, love is incompatible with hurry, isn't it? Love is incompatible with hurry. I'm always in a hurry, right? 1 Corinthians 13, the very first description of love in that chapter is love is, guess what it is? Patient. Love is patient. Love takes time. Hurry doesn't have time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you a prayer I've been praying over the last month. I've been really, really wrestling with. And I'll encourage you to pray this prayer early in the morning. I don't know if that is for you. Maybe it's your cup of coffee. Like for me, it's making my oatmeal in the morning. And just praying this prayer and just sit in it. Let God do his work in it and just see what he asks you to do throughout the day. It's a very simple prayer. Here it is. God, help me walk slowly enough to experience Jesus fully and love people deeply. We say that with me on count of three. One, two, three. Say it with me. God, help me walk slowly enough to experience Jesus fully and love people deeply. Let's say it again. Let's say it this time like we're praying to God. Let's just pray this prayer to God right now together. On the count of three. One, two, three. God, help me walk slowly enough to experience Jesus fully and love people deeply. What's going to happen if you pray that prayer is a couple things are going to happen, and it's already starting to happen to me. I found myself start not doing this week, and I had to remind myself because of the prayer to get back on track. Here's the first thing that'll help you do. You'll be present in the moment. You'll be present in the moment. I've recognized I could be physically in a conversation with somebody, but mentally somewhere else. Have you done that? Raise your hand if you've done that, all right? I struggle with that a lot. My mind, if I'm not careful, will mindlessly kind of spin off, and I'm seeing more needs now if I just can be present with people, celebrating their celebrations and grieving their losses with them. So this is huge, being more present with people. The second thing is this, choose what's important and to eliminate what's not. God will help you in this prayer, I believe, to choose what's important and to eliminate what's not. This is huge because a lot of times we get pulled in so many different directions. I get pulled, people want me over here, they want me over there, and I have to sit there and go, where is the most important place to grow the kingdom for me to be? That means I have to say no to some things. There's a lot of things that end up drift towards that really don't matter much, or somebody else could do, and it'd be better for them to do it anyway. And here's what you find. And let me just say this clearly. You may say no to some good things right now to say yes to some better things. But just because you say no right now doesn't mean you have to say no forever. I mean, you may love, I don't know, hot yoga and gardening and softball, but you got 3 babies in diapers at home. And so you may have to say no for now, but it's not a no forever. It's just in this season, there's something more important. You have time for what you choose to have time for. The solution is not more time. The solution is more of what matters. So it's not just being more present. It's not just being wise in your decisions and eliminating what's not most important. But here it is. Lastly, and most important of all, it'll help you sense God's presence and recognize his voice. And what I've found is I've slowed down a little bit. I see God working in places that I was just too busy to notice before. He's prompted me to ask additional questions, to go deeper in conversations and to pray with people, not as a pastor, but as a friend, as a brother in Christ. He's taken me to a deeper level. I've noticed this as I've walked slower. My life is looking more like Jesus. Because think about this, if you will, as Jesus walked along every person, everyone that Jesus loved, every miracle that Jesus performed, he did it as he walked. As he walked along, God used him. And so my invitation to you is join me over the next 7 days. Pray this prayer over the next 7 days. God, help me to walk slowly enough to experience Jesus fully and to love people deeply. And here's what's so interesting about Jesus. All throughout his life, following the will of God, where was Jesus walking? Here's where Jesus was walking. Jesus was always walking toward the cross. Step by step, moment by moment, he was walking towards God's calling for him, which was a cross expressing the deepest love, most profound love for you and for me. He was walking towards a cross, and so we know Jesus is the way, he's the truth, he's the life. We don't just embrace the truth that he taught, but we want to love the way that he loved, we want to live the way that he lived. And as we learn to walk with Jesus, guess what? We become more like Jesus. Imagine in an angry and hurting, divided world, especially in 2024 with an election, What if a loving, caring, united church walked slowly enough to engage with those who are far from God, to show the love of a God who stepped out of heaven and came to earth in the person of his perfect and sinless son, Jesus, who one day after he was born and after he started his mission, day after day he walked toward the cross to give his life for you and for everyone around you. If you're following Jesus, guess where you're walking? You're walking to lay down your life for something so much more important. The answer is not more time, it's more of what matters. You have time for what you choose to have time for. Will you stand with me? Let me pray over you right now. Let me pray. So God, help us. Help us to walk slowly enough to experience Jesus fully, to love people deeply. And Father, we ask that you would do that work in the hearts of our church called RCC. As you continue to pray right now, those of you who would just say, you know what, I'm overwhelmed, I'm stressed, I don't have enough time, I'm just going to invite you to come to Jesus and invite you just to pray that prayer with me this week. If you'll commit to just doing this for 7 days, we'll see what God does. God, just help us slow down to walk with you slowly enough, to love you fully, and to love people deeply. If you'll pray that prayer with me over the next week, would you lift your hand up right now? Would you raise your hand if you'll pray that prayer with me over the next 7 days? I see you. So, Father, I thank you that you've advanced for what you're going to do and how we're going to see you this next week, and for all the different ways we'll enjoy what matters most as you lead our steps, as you direct us. God, help us to walk with you, to be willing to be interrupted by you, to see needs in people and to feel joy again. God, we even praise you for allowing us to be a blessing on behalf of others. So we thank you that there might be healing, there might be reprioritizing. God, we pray that your truth would sink deep within our hearts, that we would have time to do what you call us to do. Help us to choose what matters most. Help us to love you, to love your people as we're loved by you. We pray this all in the amazing name of your Son, Jesus. The whole church said, amen.